Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Happy Sunday. Oh my goodness. We got a good lineup for food for thought on a Sunday brunch edition, right? We always like to nourish our brains, nourish our souls, nourish our conscience with a few facts. And no better way to start that than today with Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor. His daughter's now the current Arkansas governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He also was a presidential candidate. He's the host of one of my favorite TV shows. And he has a lot to say about the state of America, the historical inflection point we're at, what's in stake at the election, how Republicans win the election, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and whether there'll be an impeachment of Joe Biden. This one you're going to really want to listen to. I think Mike Huckabee's going to make some news on that question. So we'll kick off the show with that. In the second block, we've got Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell. She's the new Attorney General. She replaced Jeff Landry when Jeff Landry went to become Louisiana's Republican governor, first Republican governor in a while there. And she is fighting that amazing First Amendment case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. The censorship case. She's going to talk about that and a whole lot more in the second block. Glenn Grothman, congressman from Wisconsin, chairman of the House Oversight Committee on the Border, National Security. We're going to talk the border with him. We're going to talk woke policies, woke military, woke education with him. And then in the last block of the show, Mark Aramian and Veronica DePipo. They are two Hollywood producers. They are self-funding an amazing movie about abortion regret. It's a true story. It's going to be made to a Hollywood drama. They're crowdfunding it. They're going to have a really great conversation with us. It's a really interesting movie project. A lot of people talking about it. That will be our cleanup block on this Sunday brunch edition on Palm Sunday. For those of you who are Christians and practice the faith and have Easter on the horizon, we'll have a really good conversation with that. All right. We're going to take that quick commercial break. But before we do, I always like to shout out one of our partners somewhere in the show today because they do so much for us. They make the show Just the News possible. One of those partners that have been with us a long time that we're really proud of, Factor, as in Factor Meals. If you're running around and want to eat healthy but can't find the time to do it, well, guess what? Factor has the absolute answer. Factor Meals have restaurant quality. They are ready to heat and eat, usually in just 2 minutes. So whenever you need them, 2 minutes, boom. You got a restaurant quality, healthy meal. It's less expensive than takeout. These meals are dietitian approved. Someone actually put some thought into the healthiness of them. They're nutritious, but they're also delicious. And they only take 2 minutes. That's what I like. I'm so darn busy. 2 minutes is about all I have to spare if I want to eat healthy. If you like that idea, go join my friends at factormeals.com because you're going to get 50% off if you use our special code. Here it is. Factormeals.com/Solomon50, S-O-L-O-M-O-N-50. Go to factormeals.com/Solomon50. Use the promo code Solomon50. Now, you know what that 50 means? You're going to get 50% off your order. 50% off your order at Solomon50. Go to factormeals.com/Solomon50. Get 50% off using the code Solomon50. All right, we'll be back with my good friend, the great governor, the great presidential candidate, the great TV host, Mike Huckabee, right after these messages.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
He always has a way of putting things into perspective, to giving truth an advantage over a lot of the spin and silliness that goes on in Washington. He's the former governor of Arkansas, former presidential candidate, one of the greatest thinkers in the conservative movement. He's our good friend, Mike Huckabee, and he joins us right now. Governor, good to have you back on.
Hey, thanks, John. After that great introduction, I'm afraid to say anything because I'm going to dispel everything you just announced.
Oh, no. I'm ready. Let's get into this. This is fun. I think the Republicans need a little bit of help. I watched this hearing today, and listen, I think all of them are good intention. They have dug up a lot of important information, but it's complex. It was designed to be complex, so it couldn't be uncovered. Where does this impeachment inquiry end? Where do Republicans finally are able to, when can they be able to translate what they found into something that Americans can understand?
I think we have to understand the reality of the atmosphere of D.C., what they're working with. Working in a highly charged partisan environment during an election year. They're not going to get that impeachment passed through the Senate. So even if they were to squeak it by the House, and I'm not sure they could, because there are some Republicans that are too cowardly and afraid to take a stand and to say, hey, the sitting president of the United States has taken millions of dollars from the communist Chinese. So even if they could, it goes to the Senate and it dies. Yeah. It dies a brutal death over there within a few minutes. So does it make sense for the Republicans to push that, have the entire mainstream media talk about how this was an election year hoax against Biden? It's not a good look and it doesn't accomplish anything. Yeah. One or two things have to happen in order for this to go anywhere. Number one, there has to be such overwhelming, compelling evidence that you have people in the mainstream media who take it up and who begin to run with it, because one of them senses, I could get a Pulitzer out of this. I could become Woodward Bernstein part two if I really followed this story to seed. Might happen, probably not. The only other way this happens is if some credible Democrats decide that there's really fire where the smoke is, and they start questioning it. I go back to the Nixon years in the 70s, and unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember it. But the fact is, until Republicans turned on Nixon, all of the Watergate stuff was nothing more than an interesting news story and a lot of allegations. It wasn't until Republicans took it up themselves against Nixon that it all came crashing down for Richard Nixon. Other than that, It would not have happened. So that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's important that Republicans have pulled out this information, and I'm glad they have. And I hope they will continue to dig, but stop short of an impeachment vote, because then they put it in a situation where it's easy to swat down like a fly and nothing happens in the Senate, even if it were to get through the House.
Yeah, a lot of good wisdom.
I think that's spot on. Yeah, and I'm with you, Governor. I mean, my concern is that they're, you know, you have these Republicans who aren't necessarily aggressive enough. And I was watching today's hearing from the perspective of if the shoe was on the other foot, Democrats would be ramming this down the throats of Americans, just like they did with the partisan January 6th committee, where they wouldn't even allow any Republicans on there who were appointed by Kevin McCarthy. It seems like day after day, Democrats are fighting with brass knuckles and Republicans are playing thumb wars for power. And I'm concerned at where that leads us going into November. Are you concerned?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd say the Republicans are playing wiffle ball and the Democrats are playing hardball. And they've embedded some spikes in the baseball when they throw it. I want to make sure that if Republicans are going to pursue this, and I do think they've done well, I give props to Comer and to Jordan, to mm-hmm. the Republican leaders who have pursued this. It's an important story. It's a critical story. I think it's the biggest scandal in American history, bigger than Watergate, 10 times over, bigger than anything, because it involves a sitting president who, from all indications, enriched himself and members of his family, not just dealing with influence, but selling it out to adversaries like China and even Russia. That's serious stuff. It's the kind of thing that it just borders on a betrayal of trust, the level of which we've never had in this country. So thank goodness that the Republican leaders have pursued it. But let's be honest, they haven't had any cooperation from the Justice Department. They're not going to get any. They haven't had any cooperation from the Democrats. And the mainstream media have completely ignored them. The only time they even bring it up is to pretend that these, they'll call it the debunked charges against Biden. Well, they're hardly debunked. I think that there's some serious evidence. Now, is it enough to convict in a court of law or even in an impeachment hearing or impeachment trial? Not if the jury has already determined what their vote's going to be. And that's what we have to remember. This is not a jury of impartial people. This is the U.S. Senate, where Democrats have a majority, and you have some very weak-kneed Republicans who would fold like a paper cup in a windstorm if they had to vote. They wouldn't vote to do it anyway, even if they had overwhelming evidence. So we just have to look at realities and be careful not to do something that maybe, as some would say, well, it's principled. Wonderful. But, you know, don't do something that causes more harm than good. And that's why I say the investigation, and I've always supported the investigation, but I have said throughout the entire process, don't pull the trigger on an impeachment vote unless you've got the votes, not only for the impeachment, but for the Senate trial.
Yeah. I think if you're going to shoot the king, you got to make sure you got the shot. And I think that that's what we're learning as we go through the process. Governor, I want to ask about the budget vision that Republicans put out today. It balances the budget in 7 years, but it starts in 2025. Again, the same reality. You can't do anything with a Democrat White House and a Senate. So they'll go into this election not having been able to close the border and not be able to really reduce spending. But they have a vision, if you give the whole government to Republicans to do it. That's probably a pretty good move, given the fact that they only got a 2-vote margin in the House right now, right?
Yeah, I think we have to be careful not to expect them to do something that's not going to happen.
Right.
A lot of people are frustrated with the Republicans, and I understand that. But it's not like we've given them a great majority. And with that's the resignation right. of Ken Buck and the fact that that majority has gotten smaller, let's not kid ourselves. We're climbing uphill and it's an icy hill and we don't even have a good rope. So the likelihood that we're going to be able to get big things done, I think we have to be very honest with the American public and say, we have a slim majority in the House. Even if we pass something, the Senate will reject it. And even if by some miracle the Senate passed it, Joe Biden would veto it. So what we ask you to do is give us not only a better majority in the House, give us the Senate, give us the White House. And if we don't perform and do it immediately within the first 2 years, then you have every right not only to be mad at us, you have every right to throw us out and never trust us again.
And
there are a number of issues, sir. I mean, you look at a Venn diagram of Democrats and the radical left, and it's becoming much more of a circle than it used to be. But there are no nonsense issues on the right that I think Republicans should seize on. And frankly, I think your daughter should be a prototype for Republicans across America, because she referred to X on gender forms for government forms. She said something to the effect of, as long as I'm governor, we will not endorse this nonsense. That's got to be the Republican mentality going forward, calling this stuff out as nonsense, because most people, even people who are Democrats, but a little bit more reasonable, see it as nonsense.
Amanda, I couldn't agree more. And you brought up a great point. We need to go with the things that the overwhelming majority of the American people agree with. Here's some examples. You just mentioned the transgender nonsense is finally being obvious to most Americans. It's nonsense. You shouldn't be having deep voice males going into the locker room, undressing in front of 14-year-old girls and somehow pretending that that's okay. We need to push back on that. We need to be clear on the border, because that's affecting big cities that are run by Democrats and lived in by Democrats and that have historically been reliable Democrat voters, and they're sick of this. We need to talk about crime. We need to talk about the fact that we're living in a day where you get hit in the back of the head with a brick on a major city street. You'll still be in the hospital getting stitched when the person who hit you will already be released with no bail, back on the streets, hitting somebody else in the back of the head with a brick. We have to be clear about that and say, if you give us the chance to lead, and that means the White House, the Senate, and the Congress, we're going to do some bold things. We will close the border. We will start enforcing laws. We will end this dual standard of justice. We will stop the nonsense of pretending that 6 and 7 and 8 year old boys can just declare themselves to be little girls, and we're supposed to go along with that. I think we have a great opportunity. And by the way, it doesn't hurt for us to be able to talk about that we're pushing against China while they're trying to rob jobs from us and feed our kids fentanyl and kill 100,000 of them every year.
All right, folks, right around the corner after a quick commercial break, we got a good one. You're going to want to stay tuned for this one. This is going to have a little bit of news in it. The Attorney General of Louisiana, Liz Murrell, she's fighting that extraordinary First Amendment case. She's got some big thoughts, including about what she saw Ketanji Brown Jackson, the justice, actually say about our First Amendment. It's a shocker. Her response isn't that shocking. She's going to get a zinger. We'll have that right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're very lucky to be joined by one of the lawyers that is bringing that historic First Amendment case. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell was at the Supreme Court on Monday to speak up on behalf of that First Amendment, which always seems to get in the government's way. And she joins us right now. General, great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be with y'all.
Your case is, I think, going to become one of the most important First Amendment cases of our generation. It may get combined with a couple other cases before the term's out. But there was an extraordinary moment when a Supreme Court justice seemed to suggest the First Amendment wasn't an inalienable right, but an inconvenient one.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. You know, I think the wholehearted answer to her question about whether the First Amendment hamstrings government is, yes, it does. That's what it was intended to do. That's what the founders wrote it for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like as a Supreme Court justice, there should be a baseline fidelity to the Constitution, particularly the First Amendment on our Bill of Rights. But what do you expect to happen? I know that we're not supposed to judge the outcome of something like this based on the arguments and their responses and their questioning. But what's your take on it? What do you feel?
I agree with John. We talked about this before, that I think that NRA case and our case may end up being kind of bookends for the court to try and delineate the line between encouragement, coercion, and pressure tactics that cross the line and violate the First Amendment. I mean, clearly we think here we had adequate evidence to support a preliminary injunction showing that these tactics crossed that line. And certainly they went well beyond the level of simple persuasion, which is what the government was claiming. It was surprising, I think, to say the least, to not see a little more defense of the First Amendment coming from the bench.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had that. They were like, where is this going? Where is the defense of it? It'll be interesting to see what the final decision comes out to be. General, I want to ask about one of the most extraordinary pieces of evidence that your team dug up, and that is the interview with the FBI agent Elvis Chan, where he talks about this system where he would send these requests over to social media to apply the terms of service, which is, in other words, to try to censor certain things. And he talked about these requests would go all the way to the seventh floor of the FBI, meaning the leadership of the FBI would approve it, and then Elvis Chan would send it over. It's an extraordinary system that I don't think most Americans can ever imagine. Why is the FBI in the middle of a censorship request? What have you learned about that system?
And look, our evidence was thousands of pages that illustrated a sprawling, coordinated enterprise across the federal government that had gone well beyond just, I mean, it was bad enough that it was censoring COVID speech, but it went well beyond that. And it had implemented, it had become kind of bureaucratized as something that seemed like it was an everyday project in the FBI and in CISA and across other agencies too. So that exchange is extraordinary, and it ought to scare the heck out of everybody that the government is able to build such an enterprise adapted to censoring people's speech and have such joint participation by these platforms.
Yeah,
I think it is scary to a lot of Americans. And if this leash had not been applied in the form of, I guess, the original one, Missouri v. Biden, now it's Murphy. If this leash had not been applied, what could have happened? And to that end, regardless of what happens with this outcome, I feel like as far as the Biden administration, what we've seen with their behavior so far, they might just find a way around it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned that if the injunction right now is stayed, but I do think that they've had to be much more conscious of what they're doing because there are a lot more eyes on it. And Congress has been paying, and some of the congressional hearings from the House have been paying a lot closer attention to what's been happening. But if it's sanctioned, if the level of conduct that we uncovered in our lawsuit is sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court as nothing more than persuasion, but that doesn't cross the line into coercion, then I fear we're in a pretty scary place. I mean, I don't know anybody who wouldn't feel coerced if the FBI showed up on their door or on the phone, even calling them and asking them to take down speech. I mean, that's coercive by its nature, I think.
Yeah, just because of the enormous power they have. That's such a great point that I think your lawyers made well on Monday. General, I want to ask a little bit about if the court doesn't enjoin this behavior. Well, it'll happen in the June timeframe, most likely spring, maybe the end of the session, June. And then we head right into the 2024 election season. The apparatus that you uncovered, it's still there. It may be cooling its engines a little bit. Will it kick in full force if the court doesn't intervene?
Well, they claim that they're not doing some of the things that they were doing before, like switchboarding. But we'll see. It really does depend on what the Supreme Court does with our case. If the court holds that we don't have standing and none of the private plaintiffs have standing, then it could order that could result in the whole case being dismissed. That would be very unfortunate result. If it doesn't, and we are permitted to continue, even if the injunction isn't put in place, that means we get to go back and continue discovery in this case and continue conducting depositions. And I think that also brings substantial pressure because it adds daylight, right? I mean, transparency here is a win, and being able to continue to uncover the conduct is important, because what was happening was the government was able to do its dirty work without anybody seeing it.
Yeah, it was below the radar.
I will say, though, I think that many of our viewers are heartened seeing what you are doing as Attorney General and seeing lots of just state and local officials in general fighting back against this administration's censorship. And a lot of times that has to do with EV as well. And there are two, I think they are House bills in Louisiana, 341 and 201, I think, one of which bans any prohibiting of combustion powered vehicles. And then another one that caps the state fleet at, I think, 2 or 3% as far as EVs. Talk to us about what your state legislature is doing and the courage that they have gotten as a result of people like you.
Well, we have a very energy, pro-energy state. We power the nation. We've got a lot of infrastructure here that supports powering the nation through multiple different means. And so, you know, we're proud of that and we're going to keep defending it. And I think that those bills in our legislature simply reflect support for the energy producers in our state and reflecting it through government purchasing. And it will help me when I want to challenge those rules.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Not our rules, but the federal government's rules that are right. Trying to mandate EVs on everyone.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. Attorney General, I want to ask a little bit about immigration. It obviously is affecting your state and every other state a little bit to the east of you. Georgia had the terrible Lake and Riley tragedy recently. There is Texas got at least a temporary affirmation from the Supreme Court that it can go ahead and maybe start arresting people under state law. Are states like Louisiana likely to consider similar remedies, particularly if Texas succeeds at this?
Oh, I certainly think that our legislature would be very willing to do that. They are. We've been very supportive of Texas. We think that the Biden, like many people do, that the Biden administration has abjectly failed us with regard to immigration policy. And that if the administration isn't going to protect our border, then we have a right to do that ourselves. And so we are continuing to support Texas and what they're doing. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster on that law. And I think that they're kind of bouncing around in state and federal court on it. But we support the law and we support Texas.
All right, folks, Congressman Glenn Grothman, one of the leaders on border security, on stamping out DEI and racism and anti-Semitism in America. Glenn Grothman, right around the corner from the great state of Wisconsin after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are just a few days out from the Hunter Biden hearing on Capitol Hill, one that he declined to attend after calling for it for months. Now, lucky for us, we are joined by someone who will be participating in the hearing. He's Congressman Glenn Grothman of the great state of Wisconsin, and he joins us now. Glenn Grothman, Congressman, you corrected me on that pronunciation last summer, and I haven't forgotten, but I did for a split second. Congressman Grothman, thank you for being here. Sarah, I want to ask you about what is going to be taking place on Wednesday. I think that you and all the members of Oversight belong on the World Poker Tour because I've never seen a more embarrassing bluff called out. Hunter Biden has been saying for months that he wanted public testimony. That's how he wanted it to be. He wanted to speak to the American people, and now he's not showing up. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think he doesn't want to embarrass himself. I think we're at the point where the more information comes out, it is very apparent that the Biden family, including Joe Biden, were acting to benefit Hunter Biden and were in contact with Hunter Biden. I kind of feel like a policeman where, you know, everybody in the police force knows this guy is guilty. But we don't quite have enough information to get the conviction. But I think we are so close in so many ways, and it's very obvious the reason Hunter Biden doesn't want to be there is because he's afraid he's going to slip up or he doesn't want to embarrass him and his father on national television.
Yeah. I think that's right. Congressman, there is a lot of options in the next 6 months for Congress to pursue to try to create some accountability. One is impeachment articles. Maybe they get sent over to the Senate. Doesn't look like the Senate will do anything. Another is to develop criminal referrals for the Justice Department, a future Justice Department, maybe to bring some accountability went on here. Can you tell us where you think this is going to end, where the American people can get some accountability for really one of the largest influence peddling schemes I've ever seen in my life?
Right. I think referrals is the way to go. To be honest, we have got to remove Joe Biden from office. And I think insofar as we go down this path, it's important that justice be served, right? The public will demand and should demand that something happened to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, given the fact, for example, in Ukraine, when that prosecutor was fired and Joe Biden is bragging about it, it's hard to think of any other rationalization or reason for that happening other than that Hunter Biden was weighing in with his father and having his father do things because the cash was transferred, right? That's what it sure looks like. On the other hand, big political picture, I think sadly, the public is not as excited about that as they are him completely ignoring the border, completely out of control on inflation, maybe completely out of control on his racial divisiveness. And insofar as we focus on the minutiae of Hunter Biden selling his father's influence, I think the more we go down that path, it'll take America's eyes off these other issues, which I think are more likely to lead to victory in November.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Absolutely. Sir, I want to shift gears. Misinformation and disinformation have been hot topics at the Supreme Court today with oral arguments in Missouri v. Biden. But there was also some misinformation / disinformation that was still floating around the internet this weekend with respect to President Trump's comments about bloodbath. You had Keith Olbermann, Joe Scarborough, Joe Walsh, breathlessly reporting on President Trump talking about a bloodbath with, I think they were inferring, some type of civil war. That obviously was not what President Trump was talking about. How do we get through to these people that when you consistently try to pass on these hoaxes, the American people eventually are going to find out the truth?
Well, I hope we all catch on to the truth. I mean, this is one of the most outlandish things. But the idea that they would say that President Trump was talking about a bloodbath of American citizens is just so absurd on its face. And I think we have to get out there and tell our children or grandchildren or coworkers what's going on. My fear is that there are still Americans out there who listen to these networks, which should be totally discredited. But we have to use this as an example to educate our friends the degree to which you can't trust up. You can't believe a thing that these other networks are saying. I mean, it's hard to believe when I was a child, things like NBC, that meant something. Now it means that you're entirely in the tank, making up things to try to defeat Donald Trump. And I feel sorry for Donald Trump because I think never before in history have we had a mainstream media this in the tank for one presidential candidate or the other.
Yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about it. The record is clear on that. Congressman, you've done so much to highlight what's going on at the border. And I think you look at the polling, that's the number one issue right now for most states, most Americans. It doesn't seem like anything's getting better. Lake and Riley, just another day and another horrific story. It's so awful what's going on. What are you seeing? Is there any movement by the Biden administration to tighten things up, or are they just doing
rope-a-dope? We have two chances to try to do something before November, to force Joe Biden to do something. One is we could try to hold up some of the spending bills we plan on passing this week and say, no, Joe Biden, we're not going to pass these bills unless you take action at the border. The other thing is we can hold up aid for Ukraine and try to force him to do something. Because I'll tell you, it's more than just polling. And it's the American public is concerned about this. It's the future of America. Every month that Joe Biden doesn't act, and he doesn't need Congress to act, any month he doesn't get this back down to the 15 or 20,000 a month that Donald Trump had, is another month we're going to get 200,000 people here. 300,000 people. How are we going to get those people out of the United States? They shouldn't be here under any circumstances. We know a lot of them are going to come here. They're going to take advantage of the welfare system. They're going to break our laws. We've heard testimony on my committee that immigrants coming here, the illegals, are committing crimes at 3 or 4 times the rate of the native born. We're going to lose America altogether unless we act now. And it's important that the public catch on to force Joe Biden to do something if he has any chance of getting reelected in August. I'm reelected in November.
Yeah. Sir, you read tea leaves really well. We sat in a diner with you last year and you told us that immigration would be the number one issue and that Donald Trump should focus on that. With respect to Wisconsin, it's obviously not a geographic border with our southern border, but you look at the Lake and Riley case, there are a number of esteemed universities in Wisconsin, like John's alma mater, Marquette. This could come to a campus anywhere across the country. What happened in Georgia, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you this. America's one country. You cannot have Arizona and Texas disappear and say it's not going to affect Wisconsin, right? It is going to affect the United States overwhelmingly. It's going to affect public policy throughout the country. It's going to affect the debt throughout the country. And, you know, when our country was founded, it was Ben Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it. To keep it, you need people who are freedom-loving people, more than just hardworking people, freedom-loving people who want to hold on to our Constitution. And you cannot collect people from all around the world who have not been educated in our love of limited government without permanently changing the United States. This is the number one issue. I'm glad the public realizes it's the number one issue. I'm not sure they always realized it, but I'm glad they realize it's the number one issue, because we will lose this country if not for us, for our children, if we do not stop the spigot at the border and turn around and kick a lot of these people back out, because these are not people who've been raised to have the limited view of government that our forefathers expected us to have.
Yeah, such a great point, no doubt. Sir, people look at Washington and say, I think bipartisan Phil's dead, but actually it isn't. You are working on a very important project to stop age discrimination, particularly against senior citizens, and you reached across the aisle, you got a Democratic co-sponsor. Tell us what's going on and why this is an important piece of legislation.
Well, right, I think the one part of discrimination that is a problem in this country is age discrimination. You know anybody who got laid off when they're 45, 50, 55, 60, unless they have a very specific skill. If you're a plumber, you always got a job, right? But unless you have a specific skill, people turn the other way. You're the first one to get fired, and you get let go because your health insurance costs are higher, perhaps. You're the last one to pick up because people know sometimes older people a little bit slower. They're used to hiring 22, 25 years old. So it's important to introduce legislation to strengthen the protections of the one group in our society who is being discriminated against, and that's the older Americans.
Yeah, great point.
Amen. Sir, before we let you go, spending is a problem in Washington. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're talking about. But one of the ways that we can fix it, or one of the first ways you have to tackle it, is with transparency. If we don't have the visibility on the issue, it's very hard to tackle. You've introduced the Appropriations Transparency Act. Tell us about it, sir.
Right. Right now on appropriation bills, and so you understand, most spending that the government does every 2 years, overwhelmingly, the Congress votes on, not mandatory spending, but most spending is through the appropriation bills. Right now, we do not have to get the in-depth information we get from the Congressional Budget Office on other, quite frankly, less important bills. We've got to make sure we get the same thing when bills come out of the Appropriations Committee, not only for congressmen to make the right decisions, but for the press corps and for the public to know what's going on. So we're going to be introduce this bill, put these bills on the same footing as other appropriations or spending bills, and hopefully in the long run, it will result in a little bit more fiscal responsibility.
All right, folks, we're going to go a little Hollywood for the last break. Hey, it's a Palm Sunday. Why don't we have a movie that has a little bit of spirituality and faith in it? The great Hollywood producers, Mark Aramian and Veronica DePeepo, are here. They're going to talk about a new film project they have. You're going to want to hear about this. It tackles a subject that almost nobody in Hollywood has the courage to tackle: abortion regret, women who have abortions and then live with pain and mental anguish for years or decades afterwards. They have a real life story they're turning into a movie. You're going to want to hear that before you get onto your Sunday duties right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back, America. As we talk about on the show often, conservatives who make a living in the entertainment industry often find it hard to use their creative talents for projects that align with their values and have a positive impact on their audiences, of course. Successfully breaking free from the industry machine is not easy, but the bold and brave entertainment professionals who take this leap of faith typically wind up producing some really incredible work. We've showcased some of them. We're happy to be joined now by two such professionals who, as a married couple, have embarked on this daunting journey together after being blacklisted in Hollywood. Mark Aramian and Veronica DePippo, thanks so much for joining us. You have an amazing movie to tell us about.
Yes, we do. We're actually in the middle of crowdfunding a project called He Named Him Adam, and it's inspired by the true story of Regina Block. And Regina Block was a woman who had an abortion and immediately began to suffer from post-abortion regret. She suffered from anxiety and depression. Her life spiraled out of control for almost a decade. It derailed her law school ambitions, it ended her marriage, and it actually drove her to the brink of suicide. What saved her was the revelations from her four-year-old daughter, who had no idea that her mom had ever had an abortion. This little girl was having a series of recurring dreams about encountering an eight-year-old brother in heaven. And what these dreams revealed to Regina completely turned her life around. She finally sought out post-abortive counseling. She volunteered at a pregnancy resource center, and she is now the director of the National Memorial of the Unborn, which is built on the site of a former abortion clinic right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it's a place where men and women can come and honor the memories of children lost to abortion and miscarriage.
Wow. That is big.
Incredible. Mark, a story like this, I don't think is very popular in Hollywood. It's worse than taboo. It's practically prohibited to be on the life side of this equation. How did you get this movie made?
Well, you're right. I mean, we are in a culture war, and Hollywood will do everything they can to prevent this movie from being made. They certainly would never fund it, which is why we're crowdfunding. But as you know, we are in a kind of stasis situation with the pro-life movement. Pro-lifers make all these brilliant arguments with using logic and science, but half the people in this country only pay attention to emotional arguments. And who's been making those? Hollywood. Hollywood creates a sympathetic character that everybody likes, everybody wants to be like, and shows that they are victims of some value system, just like some Judeo-Christian value system. So let's take a look at, for example, the movie a couple of years ago, Unpregnant. It's a story about an underage girl gets pregnant and the poor thing has to go to another state to have an abortion. So it's a funny road trip kind of journey and everything is fine. But they never mention once in the movie that somebody was murdered and this poor girl is probably going to be suffering. So what we believe is that there are like 20 million women who have had abortions, and this is the single most important issue to them because they have not reconciled with God. And until they do, they're going to keep voting for the party that is pro-abortion, and we know who that is. This is why it's so important for us to tell this story.
Yeah, oh, it really is. There is a liberation moment, I think, in the entertainment industry. I think what's happened with The Chosen and so many other movies, a bit of crowdfunding, great talent like your own, and then a great storyline, and all of a sudden people come and they show and they engage in these movies and they're very happy and they're very satisfied because they've been deprived these stories for a long time. Is this a reckoning moment where Hollywood is going to be changed permanently, you think?
We really hope so. I think that this is a very liberating for, in other words, to get this type of content out into the world. Yeah. I don't think that Hollywood is ever going to change.
Right. Right.
But I think that this is going to certainly raise a lot of eyebrows in Hollywood by letting people know that there is a huge audience that's out there and it's ready and waiting for this kind of content. But it is going to continue to take independent mom and pop producers like us to actually bring it forward into the world.
Yeah, point.
What made you decide to tell Regina's story in a narrative form as a feature film instead of as a documentary?
Well, we know the power of feature films and narrative films. For example, movies, projects like The Chosen, projects like Sound of Freedom, these inspire conversations. It inspire people to delve into issues that maybe they're not comfortable delving into, such as issue of post-abortive regret. It really fully develops the story and it really draws you in. And in terms of how that can affect people, understand, I was once pro-abortion, and I was actually a pro-abortion activist. And what I mean by that is I actually activated other women's abortions in my life circle by taking them to the clinic, picking them up, taking care of them. I thought I was doing the right thing, even though I was raised in a Judeo-Christian household. But what changed my mind was when my heart changed. And my heart changed was because throughout my life, I started hearing women's stories like Regina. And that had a very powerful impact on me. And that's what changed me from being pro-abortion to being pro-life. And we think that stories like this, very well-developed, well-written, well-told, well-acted stories, can have that impact on our culture as well.
Yeah, pretty powerful. Mark, we got about a minute left. Tell us where you are in the project and how our viewers, people that are going to love to see a movie like this, how they can help get this to the big screen.
Well, we are crowdfunding, as we mentioned. So we have a website called henamedhimadam.com. Henamedhimadam.com. Go there and you can donate money. There it is. It's on screen now. The script is written and we're talking to cast and we are ready to start production. And we're about to start a tease for this.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and any amount is welcome, $5, $10, $15. And for $15, people can actually pre-buy the film. So that means when we're done with the film, we'll actually send you the link and you can stream the movie in your own home.
That's pretty darn cool. Well, folks, make sure you go check that out. If you have a timetable, just real quickly before we go, when do you think this might be live for all of us?
We're hoping that this was going to be done in the year. We really hope that we can get this done as soon as possible. Our dream would be to get this movie made before the 2024 election because we know that this is going to be a big issue.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you, Mike Huckabee, Liz Morrell, Glenn Grothman, Mark Aramian, and Veronica DePeople. What a great conversation today. I feel like my brain is filled with lots of intellectual food. I hope you do, too. Lots of facts, lots of new ideas, free speech and elections and abortion regret, the border. All right. Well, that's it for today. We're going to let you get on to your Sunday happenings. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition. Mike Benz from the Foundation for Freedom Online is going to join us. Oh, my goodness. Guess what? We're going to call out all the stories that were blocked by social media censors at the encouragement of the government and their nonprofit partners that were true. Ah, man, it's so painful to hear true stories being blocked in the name of censorship misinformation. All right. Well, we'll have that tomorrow. That's a little tease. Until then, God bless you. Have a great night. Hope you enjoy your Sunday.